Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 14 in the NFL coming up. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina. Nice to be with you. As always, joined by my two partners here, the managing editor of MMQB, Gary Gramling. Gary, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. I'm limping into this one. It's been a rough 3 weeks, but it's going to turn
the
around.
The dog days.
It is. But I'm powering through. Keeping the energy.
As always, joined by Gary's brother, editor-in-chief of drfsportsforum.com, Scott Gramling. Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jimmy. Also, a little bit of a tough week. I think you and I had identical 2-3-1 best bet records.
So, pushes with the Bills. What was your best
bet? And I had 2-4.
2-4. I didn't know. Hey, listen, first of all, this, if you're listening to this podcast to make money, we came through for you last week. Because I said multiple times, the three of us all like the Browns and Steelers, so that means you know what to do, bet the Chargers and Texans. So if you listened to me, you were winners. Now, granted, I didn't know at the time the NFL allows false starts now. Things might have been differently.
Is it like the lightning bolt on the helmet? Is that distracting to the officials? Because that keeps on happening with the Chargers.
I'm going to give credit where credit's due. The start was so false that it almost seemed unfalse.
He was just motioning to the backfield.
I will say this. The Steeler loss was the worst loss, not for best bets, but I'm talking about real life, worst loss that I can remember having in years.
There was the false start. There was the interception in the end zone where Sean Davis dislodged the ball from Joe Hayden and it falls into Keenan Allen's hands. And then there's a 70-something yard punt return with a block in the back.
Here's when I knew the Steelers weren't going to win. They got up 7-0. Then the false start happens that they don't call. So it's 7-7. And I said, here we go. And then the Steelers came right back and scored a touchdown, but the kicker missed the extra point. When that happened, I said, nope, not going to happen tonight. You could just see what's happening.
Were they not up 13-0 in that game?
I think it was 13-6-7. It was 13-7.
It was 13-0, and then they got the Travis Benjamin false start touchdown.
Oh, I thought it was 7-7, and then they scored, and then it was 13-7.
No, it was, and then it was 23-7 at half. All I remember cursing at halftime that I only bet a lot of money on the Steelers instead of more than a lot of money on the Steelers.
So that's what it was. All right, so they got up. It was 7-0. Connor scores on a one-yard run. They missed the extra point, so it was 13-0. Then the false start that wasn't called made it 13-7. That was it. You couldn't have shut it off right there.
It was 23-7 at halftime. They opened the second half with the ball.
Yeah, but when they get a touchdown on a penalty that's not called, that's when you know the night's not going to go your way.
We should do a special on that game.
Let's just skip this week.
I said it last week. It was the first time all season in 13 weeks that the three of us picked two games unanimously, Browns, Steelers. So if that happens again and you're listening to this, you know how to make money. Right. So we'll see if it happens again here in Week 14. So let's
parlay the Texans and the Chargers.
Let's get it going right now. First game. And it's a rough one. I don't think many of you will be tuning in for this one. Bills at home, -3.5 against the Jets, who come into town. Total, 38. Gary.
I like the Bills fine in this one. It's a Bills lean. They're 3-4 with Josh Allen as the starter. And if they make that play at the end, they're 4-3. And they'd be 5-2 against the spread. They also didn't cover last week because that final play in Miami, even though that's really a game where they did a they deserve to cover.
Josh Allen could have thrown the ball about three more yards, they win the game outright. That guy was wide open in the end zone.
Came out of his hand weird, and Clay probably should have caught it anyway.
I think if it hits Clay in the hands, chest high, knowing Charles Clay, he would probably still find a way to drop it. So let's be honest there.
So you like Buffalo?
I 3.5. Bills are, when Bills win, they're going to win ugly. So you can't love it.
I don't even know. I should have researched this. Are the Jets going to go back to Darnold, or are they still sticking with McCown? Does anyone know what's going on? Darnold's supposedly healthy, and they keep playing the old guy for some reason.
It's leaning Darnold.
Okay. I don't know if that matters in your wagering.
I honestly think Jets are better than McCown than Darnold at this point. Darnold's obviously the quarterback of the future. Right. He wasn't ready week one. He wasn't ready week nine. He's probably not ready week 14.
All right. So you see Darnold in that game, you're even happier than to lay 3.5.
Yeah.
All right.
Not thrilled either way. But
Scott, what do you got here?
nothing. I have absolutely nothing on this. If I had to play it, I would play over 38 just because that's such a low total. And it was a low total when these teams met at MetLife and the Bills dropped 41 on them. I mean, the Bills are not going to be dropping 41, neither are the Jets. But combined to go over 38, that would be my slight lean here.
Yeah, I have no feel on this game at all. Jets have collapsed completely. 3.5, I don't know. I wouldn't even begin to. I don't even know. I can't even give you an over-under on it. Buffalo defense tries hard, but, you know, 38 is so low, so this is a hard pass for me. Next game, the struggling Panthers go into Cleveland. Carolina is still a road favorite here, -1.5. Against the Browns, total 47. Scott?
Another tough game to call. You know, I've been Carolina 22-5 against a spread following a road loss under head coach Ron Rivera. I think I've used that a couple times this year, starting when it was like 21-3. So I think since then it's 1-2. I don't know what's happened to Carolina. There's been some rumblings that Cam isn't completely healthy. If I had to take the game, I would probably take the Panthers here. I haven't done very well with the Browns, either going for them or against them. I think the one time I did get them right was going against the Bengals in that game, but a couple weeks ago. This is a game I'm staying away from. If I had to pick a total, I would go under the total, but I don't even feel great about that either.
Yeah, Harry?
Yeah, slight Carolina lean. The Cam shoulder issue is what gives you pause. I don't know. We all loved Cleveland last week in Houston. The first half was such a disaster. It was such a Nathan Peterman-like performance from Baker, and then they turned it around, and the defense was not problematic in that game. The reason I lean Panthers, and really it's not a good reason, but it's one of those things where you go with your gut. I can't picture this Panthers team losing 5 straight. They're a good team. I mean, they've played basically one disastrously bad game this year, and that was the Pittsburgh Thursday night game. I just can't picture them falling to 6-7 here.
I like Cleveland. I think the Cam injury is a real thing. I think their defense has not played well at all lately. And I could see, you know, Cleveland and Baker. I think home field is big for a young guy like that. Obviously, they go on the road last week, get the blows door north in Houston. That won't happen this week. I like them as a little mini row home underdog.
You know, this is a Panthers team that has given up 20 or more points in every game except for two.
Their defense has been terrible. I like the Panthers. You know, I like the Browns. I mean,
last 5 weeks, 28 at home against Tampa Bay, they gave up 52 at Pittsburgh.
There was that game in Washington where I think they let Washington even.
They lost that game 23-17
right.
Back.
Yeah. And you're giving 23 up to the Redskins. I like the Browns here. Next game is in Lambeau Field. Joe Philbin. I was going to say Regis. Joe Philbin. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers, though, will be calling the plays instead of Joe Philbin. Packers giving 5 to the incoming Falcons. Total 50.5, Gary.
I like Atlanta in this one just because both teams are a mess and you don't know what you're going to get out of it. You know, Joe Philbin's not going to correct the Packers' problems here. You know, if you read the MMQB's coverage of the Packers and their problems over the last week or so, and we did cover it better than anyone out there, you know, it comes down to play calling. Aaron Rodgers wanted to call the plays. Mike McCarthy wanted to call the plays. If you go back to 2014, when, you know, that's the only time McCarthy wasn't calling the plays, it was Tom Clements, and Rodgers was basically changing every play at the line of scrimmage anyway. He was sort of acting as his own offensive coordinator, and the Packers were terrible in those games. So I don't know if I really buy Aaron Rodgers as an effective self-offensive coordinator here with this team. You know, I think maybe they give a field goal at most in this one. 5 is just too much. So I like Atlanta in just the disappointment bowl.
Scott?
Another tough game to call. It's just two bad teams. At this point in the season, when you have teams that you don't even know what their motivation might be, it's so hard to pick. If I had to pick the game, I would take the points. But take the points with what? With a Falcons team that hasn't reached 20 points in any of their last four games, and it's their offense that's supposed to be the strength of the team, because in those four games, the defense has given up more than 20 points. So I can't say I love the Falcons in this one, but then you get the Packers, on the other hand, that have lost three straight, including at home to the Arizona Cardinals. It's a tough game to play. If I had to play it, I'd take the points only because I think at this point a case could be made that these teams are equally as bad as each other.
I like the over in this game only because I'm a little nervous, and Scott gave you that stat that the Falcons can't get to 20 points lately, but I think Rodgers against that pathetic Falcons defense sort of comes out here and puts up some points. But I also see the Falcons score. You know, I don't think Green Bay's defense is anything special. So I'd go over here if I was going to play it. I wouldn't, but that would be my pick here if you gave me something I had to lean on. Next game is the Texans at home, rolling. I mean, I've given them zero respect, but they're rolling, and they're giving 4.5 points to the Colts. Total 49.5, Scott.
Again, if I had to play it, I would take the Texans. I'd still... I guess I'm just being stubborn at this point and not believing in the Texans, but I don't. And this is a case here where in a divisional game, 4.5 points is a significant amount of points. But I don't know. I guess I would go with the Texans if I had to pick it. And but again, I think with anything more than a field goal, it's a tough game to really go out there and play.
Gary?
I like Indianapolis in this one a fair amount. I think that number's a little too big. The Texans haven't really, during their win streak, that included a win over the Colts. That was that overtime game.
Started the streak.
Down. Yeah. Yep.
Mike Vrabel started the streak.
Going
for it on a fourth down.
Frank Reich.
Frank Reich.
You're mixing up your...
Yeah.
Vrabel continued the streak. He continued the streak going for fourth down by handing it off to a tight end that had never carried the ball.
What happened in – something weird happened in the first Texans-Colts game.
Reich in overtime went for it near midfield.
Right.
Which I had no problem with. They were at midfield. There was like 30 seconds to go. Had they not given up like a 20-yard chunk play on the very next play, it probably would have ended in a tie. But they did, and Texans kicked a field goal, and that's how it ended. Texans, I think, covered in that one, too. I think they were given like a point. So I like the Colts hanging around. They've won two of the three last times they've been to Houston with Andrew Luck under center. The one loss was in overtime. I think this is a game that gets decided on a late field goal.
Listen, sooner or later, I got to say I like the Texans. I might as well say it now. They're only laying 4.5 at home. They got everything going their way. I wouldn't bet it, but I don't love the Colts. Never haven't all year, but sooner or later, I got to tip my cap to the Texans. I guess it would be this week.
The Texans 11-5-1 against the spread is a home favorite of fewer than 6 points since the start of 2015. Yeah. They do tend to... get the job done from an against the spread point of view in these sort of situations.
Back-to-back road games here, too, for the Colts. They were in Jacksonville last week. Now they're in Houston. So
last time the Colts played back-to-back road games in the second game, they lost by 8 to the Jets in mid-October. Like, that seems like a lifetime ago, just based on how the teams have played since then. But, losing at 8 by 8 to the Jets, that's... Not
they do. I would just throw in no T.Y. Hilton in that game. That was that game where the receivers kept on shoveling the ball to Jets defensive backs on every play, and it was I think it was just one of those days,
which was 10 days after them shoveling the ball to the Patriots defensive backs.
Those were good times.
They were banged up at the late September, early October. That is fair.
The best 1 o'clock game takes place in Kansas City. Chiefs giving 6.5 points to the Ravens. Obviously now no Kareem Hunt. Total here 53, which is low for a Chief game and high for a Raven game. Gary?
Yeah, I like the Chiefs here. I think Scott's going to like them more. I think this is one of those games, even no one's going to stop the Chiefs. I think we can all accept that. And I think the Kareem Hunt situation really has no bearing on what the Chiefs are going to do going forward. you know, it kind of reminds me of the, you know, the fact that the Rams went in to Detroit and had an off game last week, but they still went by 16 because in the end they can just score a bunch of points. I think this is probably the kind of game where it's going to be close in the third quarter, and then it ends up being a 10-point victory for the Chiefs. So I do like the Chiefs in this one.
Scott?
Absolutely love the Chiefs in this one. And there have been several times that I've been picking against the Ravens this year, and that's one of the areas that I have done well. I had them earlier in the year. Somehow they were giving points at Carolina. Looking back, maybe that's not as absurd because Carolina's lost a bunch of games since then. You know, I think this is a spot here where the Chiefs by double digits is where this points. Look, Lamar Jackson deserves credit for winning each of his first three NFL starts. Those games have been against the Bengals, the Raiders, and the Falcons, which really are three of the worst six or seven teams in the league right now. I mean, those teams are combined 11-25 straight up. They're combined 2-13 since the start of November. You look at the Chiefs, the only two losses they have this season by 3 points each, right? On the road against the 9-3 Patriots and on the road against the 11-1 Rams. This is a team that's 5-0 at home. They've won those five games by an average of more than 16 points per game. All the wins have been by 7 or more points. I just don't think this is enough points here. The Ravens win games on defense. They're actually the only NFL team that's allowing an average of fewer than 285 total yards per game. Kansas City's 4-1 against the spread since the start of 2016 when facing teams with defenses that are giving up an average of that few yards a game. I just think Jackson has yet to go up against a team that's averaging as many as 25 points per game. Chiefs lead the NFL with an average of 37 points per game. Baltimore hasn't reached 175 passing yards with Jackson. This just feels like a game that they're going to have to move the ball through the air in order to keep up with Kansas City, and I don't see it happening.
Yeah, as silly as it is to say, I mean, the Raiders last week, Raiders can still move the ball through the air if they have to. I don't know if the Ravens can.
I mean, listen, you see Chiefs, and they're giving less than a touchdown. It seems like an easy, simple, you don't have to think about it play. I don't know. I have a funny feeling Lamar Jackson is going to run wild against that awful Chief defense, and I have a feeling the game is going to be close. I will not bet the Ravens, and it would be interesting if the Chiefs get up, 14-0, 17-0, and Baltimore has to throw, because then that's a problem. But I think the Raven defense will be able to maybe slow down the Chiefs just a little bit. Stop them, no, slow them down a little bit. And the Chief defense worries me. I could see Lamar Jackson having a monster game on the ground. So for me, this is not a game I would touch. And it's crazy to say that because you're laying less than a touchdown with the most explosive offense in the NFL. But this one to me is just a red flag. I don't know why.
Jimmy, it's our Chiefs.
I know.
It's our Chiefs.
Listen, you're giving up 30 to the Raiders. Got a problem.
There's some garbage stuff in that game, though.
They give up points every week. The Chiefs' defense is pathetic. It's a pathetic defense.
Yeah.
It's not good at all.
It's been different at home. You know, you could see that game just never seemed like it was in doubt. And
well, the cover was in doubt, unfortunately.
Well, look, that's a lot of points to give on the road. Right. It's just always a lot of points.
You're giving up 30 points to a dead team that stinks. It's not a good sign.
Well, I mean, you know, at home, they've given up, the last four games, right? 14 points, 23 points, 10 points, 14 points. Get back on that bandwagon.
We're just begging Jimmy to go back with us now.
It's just so much more fun when Jimmy's on the Chiefs bandwagon.
I can't this week. All right. I got a funny feeling.
All right.
Next game, everyone in America will bet the Dolphins because every degenerate gambler knows the Dolphins at home always give the Patriots and Tom Brady fits. So the Patriots now are only giving 7.5 in Miami. The total is 47. Scott, are you going to go with the obvious trend here about the Dolphins at home always do well against the Patriots?
I'm staying away from this one, and the main reason I am is because our phenomenal producer, Harry, really confirmed that he's a Dolphins fan, that Xavien Howard is going to be out for this one. And that changes everything. I do think with him in the secondary that it makes the Dolphins competitive. But with him out, I cannot see the Dolphins really holding the Patriots in check enough to be able to cover the spread. So I'm staying away from this game. It's a tough one to call. I you know, the Patriots end the season this year the same exact way they did last year. At Miami, at Pittsburgh, home against Buffalo, home against the Jets. It's the same exact end of the schedule, which is really bizarre.
Yeah.
But last year, and I know it was a Monday night game, so it was different. They held a couple guys out. They knew that the Steelers game was the key game in terms of locking up home field advantage. It's not the same thing this year because they are trailing the Chiefs for the top record in the AFC. So they will be looking to go all out and win this one. But it's not a place that they have performed well. And there is something to that. There is something to divisional games, and there's something to knowing how to play against the Patriots because you have experience doing so. And what the Dolphins have done traditionally is got pressure on Brady with four without having to blitz. That's how you have success against the Patriots. I think the line is about right there around 7 or 8.
Gary?
Harry talked me into Patriots on this one, too, the other day when we were talking about that disappearing...
The Dolphins fan is talking you into betting the Patriots.
Yep, that disappearing Dolphins pass rush. I don't think they can do to the Patriots what they've done to the Patriots in the past. Cam Wake looks a little bit old. Charles Harris is not quite there yet. Andre Branch has never been a guy who gets to the quarterback. So I'm not sure where the pressure comes from. You know, not to mention Gronk is playing banged up, but he is playing. He's still effective. He was not in that Monday night loss last year. I like the Patriots a fair amount in this one. Not best bettable, but right. I do like the Patriots.
Edelman wasn't there last year either in that loss, and Hogan was just coming off an injury and was still injured even though he was on the field.
Right, and obviously they didn't have Josh Gordon, who is making a big difference for the Patriots this season. I would go New England in this game myself. They're playing very well right now, and I think they know they're battling the Chiefs for that first spot, so... I like the motivation there. Not that you need that when you're a Bill Belichick team, but I think Belichick too, he's a guy, he knows all the storylines about the Dolphins in Miami always playing well against them. So I think this might be one here where he flips the script. Next game is the Saints that go on the road. They give 8 in Tampa Bay. Total, of course, a big one here, 55.5, Gary.
I don't like this game. I hate it. I will lean Bucks slightly, you know, two straight up wins with the Saints team. But it's more the Bucks haven't turned the ball over. They have one turnover the last 2 weeks. And, you know, midseason when I kept on riding the Bucks and I was saying, well, they're not going to give the ball away 6 more times in the red zone, surely. And then, of course, they would do it week in and week out. One turnover the last 2 weeks, I think that's encouraging enough to think that they can go punch for punch with this Saints team, but you can't feel great about it. And as we've talked about amongst ourselves and on the show a little bit, if the Saints get an opening, if they get a lead, they're going to pour it on. They're gonna pad stats. They have Drew Brees has an MVP to win.
That's right.
Gary. I mean, Scott.
Yeah, I lean slightly Saints here. I do like the fact that under Sean Payton, the Saints are 13-4 against the spread when facing a team to which they lost previously in the same season. Can't say I love them here. What I really like the most in this game is under 55.5. It's a couple of defenses that have been playing better in recent weeks. There's familiarity among the teams. The first game of the year, there was 88 points scored in that game. That's not going to happen again. I think under 55.5 is the way to go on this one.
I like the Saints. I think it's, you know, a little revenge for their opening week loss. They're playing as well as you could possibly be playing right now. Coming off that loss, though, to Dallas where they only scored 10 points, I think this now becomes let's show everyone that this offense is still a juggernaut, and I think this is a bad spot here for Tampa Bay. I like the Saints in this one. Last 1 o'clock game, Giants go on the road. Believe it or not, with only I think what did the Giants have? 3 wins, 4 wins. They are giving 3.5 points to the Mark Sanchez led Washington Redskins. Scott, total 41. By the way,
yeah, I like the Giants here. I just feel like the Giants on the road, you know, they're 5-0 against the spread on the road in their last 5 road games, which is significant. And the main reason I like the Giants here is what Jimmy just said. Mark Sanchez is the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins. And just interesting note, this game opened on Monday as Redskins by 1.5. And it got taken off the board when Colt McCoy got injured. And when it was confirmed that McCoy would be out and Sanchez would be in, the line actually moved to 4 for a little bit, and then it settled in at 3.5.
Who knew Colt McCoy was so good?
He was. It's all relative, isn't it? We were actually speculating that it might have been 6 if it was Alex Smith in there, 1.5. It probably wouldn't have been 6, but it probably would have been 4.5 or 5.
Yeah, I was going to say 5.
And then 1.5 if Colt McCoy is in there, and then 3.5 the other way with Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. Gary?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to shock anyone who's out there buying on Mark Sanchez. But if you look at that Monday night game, one thing I'm going to go back and figure out how many games this year swung on empty red zone trips. Empty red zone trips have been killing me personally this year. Eagles went inside the Redskins' 10-yard line twice on Monday night and did not score points, which normally we'd be sitting here like, wow, can't believe Washington pulled out that game. Redskins still lost by 16 points. I mean, that is...
And
that
they had
is,
a 90-yard run.
That is, right. It's like, that is exceptionally bad football. I mean, it's a bottom five football team with Sanchez in there right now, maybe bottom three. I like the Giants in this one.
Can I just say, too, it's not just Sanchez. They are banged up all over the place. Yeah, now John Cooper's out. Not that John Cooper was sitting on a couch a month ago, but he was – so they are now to, like, third and fourth stringers. The line is banged up. The combination of the offensive line and Mark Sanchez and, you know, the receivers just haven't seemed to be healthy this year. It's just – I'm kind of with Gary that they might be a bottom three team right now, the Washington Redskins.
Sure, with Sanchez there, absolutely. I think even – I like the under in this one, too, because I don't see the Redskins putting up many points at all in that game. All right, let's go to the 4 o'clock slate. 5 4 o'clock games this week. I think this is the first week of the season where we have 5 4 o'clock games. First one, Chargers giving 2 touchdowns, minus 14 at home to the Bengals. Total here, 47.5. Keep in mind, again, no Andy Dalton. It's Jeff Driscoll. So
no A.J. Green.
And no A.J. Green with that foot injury. Gary?
Yeah, I like Chargers. Big number, so you can't love them, but I like Chargers against bad teams at quote-unquote home. So I would go Chargers here. And, you know, as we just mentioned, Bengals can't keep up offensively with what they have right now. And there's no pass rush. They're okay in the secondary, but they tend to play with their heels on the goal line every snap. I think it's just a game where Phillip Rivers, goes 38 for 39 for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns, and I think Chargers run away with it.
Scott?
The high number doesn't scare me. 8 games since the start of October, Chargers have won 4 of those by 14 or more. It is a team that has the capacity to blow other teams out, and you get the sense, right, midway through the second quarter, if the Chargers are up 17-3, that the Bengals just packing it in. I mean, the Bengals have trailed at halftime by an average margin of 15 points during their 4-game losing streak that they're on currently. And
they were close last week, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Jeff Driscoll somehow skews that the other way.
Yeah. It's I never feel good giving this many points, but I feel like that this is a spot here where you can kind of bank on the Chargers to win this game handily.
I like the Chargers too, but I'll just give you a simple rule. If Jeff Driscoll's the quarterback, bet the other team. Next game is a game I love this week. So, again, you know what to do. Denver minus 4 at the 49ers. Total 45.5. The Broncos will be one of my biggest bets of the entire season.
I really thought you were queuing up Detroit, Arizona, Jimmy.
I'm saving that for you. But Philip Lindsay is the best story in the NFL. He is on fire. Case Keenum still has a lot of issues, but it won't matter against San Francisco. The Nick Mullins thing, that was a one night he decided to play well, and the Niners are a dead team. The Broncos are fighting for the playoff spot. I love the Broncos in this game, Scott.
I like the Broncos a lot in this game. You know, the line has been moving. There's a lot of money that's been going in on San Francisco.
Good. Keep it coming.
I know that, Manuel, you know, this line was, at some places, this was 6, and now it's down to 4. Manuel Sanders is out. I can't see that being a reason for the
drop. If he's moving
like
the line,
that.
There's a problem.
No, I agree with you. But something is moving the line here, and it's intriguing to me that the line is moving this way.
Well, Chris Harris too. I mean, they're down an All-Pro corner.
Yep.
Right.
So
how can they possibly stop that the Niners passing attack now?
I mean, look at what Denver has done since the start of October, and it's the game against the Jets is an outlier. I mean, that was brutal, but after that, it's covering at home against the Rams, losing by only 3. They blew out the Cardinals. They covered against the Chiefs. They've been playing top-notch competition. Lost by 2 to the Texans. And then they were so close with these elite teams, and now they've just turned it where they won at Los Angeles against the Chargers. They won at home against the Steelers. They were getting points in both those games. And they don't even play that well in Cincinnati, but they win by 14 points. I think when you look at Denver, 6-1 against the spread in their last 7 games, to me, them laying less than a touchdown to San Francisco is a bit surprising because we've now talked about 3 straight games. When we said the Redskins might be one of the 3 worst teams, it might be with the Bengals and the 49ers. And the 49ers are just getting blown out in recent weeks by teams. You know, yeah, Seattle's good, but they're not 20-something points better than anybody. And then San Francisco losing that game at Tampa Bay 27-9. There's just not a lot of reason here to think that San Francisco against a surging Denver team should be getting any less than 7.
Yeah, you said before the Redskins might be a bottom 3 team. The Niners are playing like the worst team in the league. If you look at their last few games, they had that one explosive game with the first Nick Mullins game. The 3 since then, I think there's been 3 since then. Non-competitive, basically.
Oh, absolutely. Look, Redskins might be a bottom 3 team. 49ers are definitely a bottom 3 team.
Yeah. Gary?
Actually, I think the number's kind of right. I don't want to say I lean 49ers because I wouldn't touch them either way. You look at this Denver team, they're 2 road wins in the last 3. You know, they basically had the opponent roll up, let's see, it was 14 penalties for 120 in the game against the Chargers, 12 for 100 last week at Cincinnati. That Steelers game, I'll talk about that again when we visit the Pittsburgh line, but I mean, Steelers kept on giving it away in the red zone. I don't really buy this 3-game winning streak, and then you throw in, you know, their top corner is out, their top receiver is out. I think it brings them down enough to where these are 2 bottom 10 teams, and I don't think the Broncos going on the road.
The Broncos sniff playoffs right now.
And they do sniff
but
playoffs.
But they've been playing elite teams. I mean, nobody has come as close to beating the Texans as the Broncos have in recent weeks.
Missed field goal, they would have won.
I mean, the Chiefs game, they lose at Kansas City by 7. I hear you on the 3-game win streak, but 2 of those wins were against the Chargers and the Steelers. We saw the Chargers and Steelers play on Sunday night. Those are 2 legitimate playoff teams. I think
they lost that Steelers game by multiple touchdowns when you take away the turnovers.
Listen, it's the Broncos minus 4, but it doesn't matter. We have to move on because it's the Gary Grambling Bowl. It's the Gary Grambling Bowl. He had these teams basically in the NFC title game before the season. Lions minus 3 at Cardinals, total 40.5. It's all yours.
I had this as the Super Bowl and also the Pro Bowl.
It's all yours.
It was just going to be all Cardinals players and all Lions players. I do want to point out really quick because I got an email the other day from someone who's like, "You pick the Cardinals and the Lions to make the Super Bowl?" Like, no.
That is obviously not an NFL fan. But we know while the nation is locked in on Philly Dallas at 4:25, you will have Detroit Arizona on your television. Break it down.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I like that. I should just pick a push in this.
You should absolutely pick a push. Can you get like 8-1 on picking a push at like William Hill or something like that?
Well, what do you,
I pick. I mean,
24-21 Detroit. What do you got?
3-0.
I'm leaning Lions in this one. I'm leaning Lions in this one. I do think the Cardinals are kind of they're such a mess offensively. you know, Detroit suddenly can't block anyone. They've invested so much in that offensive line, and they've just been overwhelmed the last 2 weeks. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense the kind of football they've been playing. And I think they get right against a bad team. I think they win this by a touchdown, but you can't. Sorry, guys, you can't feel great about either team.
What big plan? Big party at the Grambling House for this game?
It's gonna be a huge tated party. I'm going to have a giant bottle of Jim Beam in front of me, and I don't know. I think every
boxes. Do you have boxes for this
every
game?
Every time there?
You need to set that up.
The boxes.
That is a great call.
Every time there's a successful snap, I'm going to drink.
We got to get boxes. We got to go around the office and get people to fill in the boxes.
Scott, what do you got on this game?
This is as bad a game as you can get at this point in the season. Lions 1-5 straight up and against the spread in their last six. You've got the Cardinals are 2-5 straight up, 3-4 against the spread in their last seven. I'm rooting for Gary to have a good time during this game.
Thanks, brother.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's a garbage game. If I had to take it, I would take the Cardinals in this one, just getting points at home. I think these teams are equally bad. I'll throw out there that Detroit is 9-22 against the spread in December games since the start of the 2011 season. They are well into their swoon again, I believe, at this point in the year.
Yeah, don't bet it, don't watch it, and just hope Gary gets overtime in this and gets a thrilling ending. All right, the main game.
A tie would be awesome.
The main game at 4:25 Sunday, the Eagles go into Dallas. The Cowboys, 3.5-point favorites at home. Total 44, Scott.
I like Philadelphia significantly in this one. I feel like a divisional game with evenly matched teams, and you look at, for whatever reason, home field hasn't really meant much in this head-to-head series. The road team is 13-4 straight up, 11-6 against the spread in Eagles-Cowboys games since the start of 2010. I just feel like in recent years, whenever the Cowboys have gotten some momentum going under Jason Garrett, they just can't seem to sustain it. And I feel like with Dallas having won at Philadelphia early in the year, I do like the Eagles coming back, and I like them winning this game outright.
Gary?
Yeah, I agree. I also like the Eagles in this one. You go back to, I mean, these teams played somewhat recently, week 10 in Philadelphia, that Sunday night game, and if you look at that game, Cowboys won that game. We know they're good defensively, and they're going to be good defensively most weeks. They won that game because their offensive line dominated the Eagles' front four, and that's not something the Cowboys have done consistently this year with Travis Frederick out, and Tyron Smith might be back this week, but he's not 100%. They're swapping in Xavier Suafilo, the former Texans bust at one of the guard spots. I just don't think that happens again, and the Eagles getting points in this one, I do like them.
I like the Cowboys. I think this defense is playing as well as any defense has all year. I don't see Philly, just because they beat Mark Sanchez and Colt McCoy, coming in here and winning this game. The Eagles have not played well at all the entire season. Dallas, obviously coming off that huge win against the Saints, worried about a little bit maybe of a letdown, but it's a division game. Players are on the line. They're only laying 3.5 at home. I think their defense gets the job done here. Last 4 o'clock game, I can't even say the word Steelers. It's a curse word right now. The vile, disgusting, grotesque Pittsburgh Steelers giving 10.5 at Oakland against the Raiders. Total 51.5. Gary.
I've best bet the Steelers the last 2 weeks, and I will do it again this week. They were 2 touchdowns better than the Chargers. They were 2 touchdowns better than the Broncos.
Don't remind me.
It's been a fluke fest. There's no reason to jump off the bandwagon. And look,
half my Five Dimes account got wiped out. How about that being a bit reason to jump off the bandwagon?
They are people tend to want to panic with the Steelers. We saw it earlier this year, and they got these big personalities. Are they going to be infighting and stuff like that? They're always infighting with this team, and they always right the ship. So I think they just go to Oakland and just destroy this Raiders team. And I know the Raiders ended up covering with the Chiefs last week. Steelers' defense is legitimate. Chiefs, as we discussed earlier, are not legitimate. So I think, if the Steelers open up a 3-touchdown lead and don't have some fluky turnovers in this one, they will run away with it.
Scott.
They just don't have a recent history of hammering teams on the road. They just don't. 3-10 against the spread as a double-digit favorite of fewer than 14 points since the start of 2009. You know, even look at the road wins this year, right? By 4 points against Jacksonville. Yeah, by, you know, they haven't won a road game by more than 7 points. Granted, this is the worst team that they'll play on the road. But if I had to take it, it's I don't even know which way I would go here. But I would not lay this many points with the Steelers. They are so careless with the ball. I don't think they're well coached. They're not disciplined. I am starting to really question what's going on there in Pittsburgh, because they do find ways to lose games. They have the past 2 weeks. And, you know, again, and the week before that, it was at Jacksonville against a team that was absolutely reeling, and they pull out a 4-point win. I just don't see how you can lay double digits on the road with the Steeler team.
I can't talk about the Steelers. I can't watch the game. I have PTSD, so we just got to move on. Sunday night, good game. Rams visiting the Chargers, the Bears, excuse me. Rams visiting the Bears. Rams -3 road favorites in Chicago. Total 51.5. Trubisky back for the Bears. Scott.
I like the Bears in this one. Bears 9-2-1 against the spread as a home underdog since the start of 2016. I would like it a little more if I was getting the 3.5 where this line opened. But I like the Bears because of their defense. I really want to see the Rams and how they react to a team that can get pressure from the edge and up the middle. And I feel like a road game for the Rams in a hostile environment on a primetime game, I like the Bears in this one to win it.
Gary?
This is tough. I lean Rams on because I think the Rams had their dud game last week in Detroit, and they end up winning
still
it by
winning
14
and covering.
Points.
Yeah. And covering.
So I don't think they can play worse than they did a week ago. It you know, it worries you a little bit because the Bears, you know, they're almost like a superior version of the Lions on the defensive side of the ball. They do a lot of the same things there. So, you know, the matchup might be problematic for the Rams, but just trying not to overthink it. I think the Rams are a better team, and you know, obviously that offense giving a field goal isn't a big deal.
I like the Rams. I've been on the Bears all season. I think Trubisky coming off a little bit of an injury here might need a, you know, might have some rust. But here's why I like them. You know, everyone's talking about the Bears defense, Khalil Mack, the pass rush. Big game here for Todd Gurley, I think. I think you're going to see a big game here for Todd Gurley. And you're only laying a field goal with an explosive offense. I like the Rams.
I keep on thinking when I look at that Bears team, I keep on thinking of the Seahawks when they played the Rams this year, and the Seahawks obviously covered twice against the Rams this year, and they were losses. So, you know, you got a scrambling quarterback who's very creative with his legs, and you got a power run game to complement him. And but I'm still going Rams.
Good segue with a scrambling quarterback and a power run game to the Monday nighter.
Yes, last game of the week, Monday night. Vikings going to Seattle. The Seahawks are giving 3. The total is 45.5, Gary.
I'll go Vikings in this one. I don't feel great about it, though. this is probably the right number here. I don't know. I don't know when the Vikings get right offensively, because they have been underachieving badly. Well, 2 of the last 3 weeks, they were okay in the Green Bay win, but Green Bay was also running out, basically a bunch of practice squad guys with all the injuries they have. I like to think the Vikings will figure it out on the offensive side of the ball. I don't think the Seahawks are overwhelmingly good defensively, but then again, neither are the Patriots. So, I don't know. I guess I like Minnesota's defense, and I think they really can't go any lower on the offensive side of the ball.
Scott?
Minnesota has not won a game nor covered a spread this season against a team that currently has a winning record. Part of the reason I liked the Patriots as much as I did against the Vikings last week. And until the Vikings show that they can keep pace with an above-average NFL team, I see no reason to not keep fading the Vikings in games against superior competition. So I like the Seahawks here.
I love the Seahawks. I haven't liked the way the Vikings have played the last few weeks. Seahawks rolling, playoff spot here on the line, basically, or, you know, in the dog hunt for it. the Vikings are weird to me. They have Diggs. They have Thielen. Cook still has not gotten sort of on track. But there's something off about it. I don't know what it is. Obviously, you know, they're playing good teams. They played the Patriots last week. They 2 weeks ago beat the Packers by a touchdown. I think this is a tough spot going into Seattle, who's really playing well right now on a Monday night. And you're only laying 3 with the home team. I love it. All right, so that wraps up the Week 14 slate. We now do what we always do at this time, our best bets. All right, Scott, kick it off.
I have 4. I know I've had 6 in recent weeks. I have 4. I have the Kansas City Chiefs, formerly our Kansas City Chiefs, but now just my Kansas City Chiefs, with the laying 6.5 at home against Baltimore. And I have the Philadelphia Eagles getting 3.5 at Dallas as my 2 sides. I have a couple of totals for you, which is New Orleans at Tampa Bay under 55.5. And I am going Cincinnati at L.A. Chargers under 47.5. Those are my 4.
Gary?
Sorry, I'm very rudely trying to check on my numbers here just so we match up. So correct me if I'm wrong any of the numbers here, Jamie.
I got you. I got you.
4 sides. I am going with the Steelers again, giving 10.5 at Oakland. Another road favorite, Giants giving 3.5 at Washington. Chiefs minus 6.5 at home against Baltimore, and the Colts getting 4.5, correct, at Houston?
The Colts are getting 4.5.
4.5 at Houston. And then 2 totals here. I like the over in Giants, Washington, 41. I think there's going to be turnovers. I think there's going to be short fields. I think it's going to be sloppy enough that there will be points in that game, if not beautiful offense. And I like the under on Monday night, Minnesota-Seattle. What do we have that? 45.5?
45.
Yeah, 45.5. Yeah. I think both those teams, if nothing else, take care of the ball. You got 2 good defenses. Look, Vikings want to run the ball. We know this. We know the Seahawks want to run the ball. They're one of the most run-heavy offenses in recent history here. So I like the under there.
I got 4 for you. I like Dallas minus 3.5 at home against the Eagles. I like the under 38 in the Jets-Bills game. Love the Broncos minus 4 in San Francisco. And I love the Seahawks minus 3 at home against the Vikings. That wraps up this episode of the MMQB Gambling Podcast. We'll see you next week for Week 15 right here on SI.com. Have a good one.
Have a profitable weekend, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.